from ComedyFilmNerds.com with Graham Elwood.
The Floating Force of Pandora, ever heard of it?
And Chris Mancini.
What clan are you from?
This is the Comedy Film Nerds Podcast.
It's not that great.
This is not the ninja movie I signed up for.
Cousin Eddie's package.
Why can't this happen?
I got nothing going on.
How you kids today with all these
Golden Trout, what the hell was that?
Welcome to the Comedy Film Nerds episode. We're in a different location.
We are. We're actually on a disclosed location.
We're at my house in the west side of Los Angeles. Normally we are in Chris's bunker.
Well, every 32 episodes we come to your house.
This is our 32nd episode.
Well, I'm honored to be here,
you
gentlemen.
You
can hardly hear the bowling alley.
I do live right behind a bowling alley.
That's why you got the place.
That's why I want to be close to a bowling alley, friend. I got a turkey I got to pick up. Yeah. Come on. That's a bowling term. Who's with me?
Not me.
That velvety smooth voice that you hear, folks, is the last writer to ever be a guest on this show. Wait, that sounds wrong. That sounds like the last, like you're done. The show's, you're going to die. The show's
it's Ernest Hemingway. I've got a shotgun outside and this is it.
We've been actually trying to get him on for a while, but the thing about our guest is he's kind of busy.
He's a busy man. You've seen him on David Letterman. You've seen him on
The Informant.
You've seen him in numerous other films.
And just on Letterman late a couple weeks ago.
Chris and I both worked with him on numerous, many, many times, and he writes.
And we somehow tricked him into working on the site.
We tricked him into doing this.
Get a buck a column. My wife actually cashed the check. She found it in my drawer. I said, don't do that. Those guys need that. Don't. That's $4 from last year.
Which is more than the Daily Beast pays.
Yeah. So here he is, friend of the show. You love his column. He does the monthly column about film noir. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast, Mr. Alan Havey.
Thank you, guys. Great to be here. It's not just film noir.
No, Alan Havey's Film Vault.
Vault. That's okay. Graham didn't read the bio before he came.
I don't know who this guest is. He writes for some website that talks about movies, so I don't know who he is. But
it's old movies, and old is, I guess, anything now 20 years old.
Yeah, the 80s is probably, you can start calling that, you know?
Absolutely. Turner Classic Movies now is showing films from the early 90s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
Because they're all classics.
They're all classics, yeah.
Well, you know, not all of them. But I wonder what they're going to show, you know, that's coming out today on Turner Classic Movies.
The Hangover?
The Hangover.
Now, you guys, did you like The Hangover?
I did like it.
I thought it was okay. I liked Hot Tub Time Machine better.
I saw The Hangover. I didn't see the theater. I waited at home. And my wife and I were in a really good mood, so we got it on Netflix, and we sat down. Didn't dig it. Didn't like it at all.
Really?
The other night, I come home. She's in the middle of it, cracking up. I sit down with her. We both start laughing. So that's happened to me a few times in my life. Same thing with Annie Hall, believe it or not.
Really?
I saw it when I was in college. I went to the theater. I was astounded at the movie. And I'm like, wow, that's funny. That's amazing. But I wasn't clicked into the laughing. It didn't grab me. Second, third time I saw it, laughed my ass off.
Really?
And yeah, that has happened to me several times over the years with comedies, specifically.
Well, you know, I think that's interesting.
It has to break down his defenses.
There are sometimes, and sometimes I go and I'm watching the movie, and I'm not analyzing anything, but I'm just kind of watching, and I'm so deep in that I'm not getting a lot of it.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, honestly, I think in all fairness, you know, we're comics, so we're going to watch a comedy film differently. We're not going to just go...
More critical eye. Oh, I know him. And
yeah, I know him, stuff. And oh, that's an interesting joke, and oh, they could have done this with this joke. That's how my brain is working when I'm watching a comedy.
And yeah, and I thought that was the case, but I saw Annie Hall way before I was a comedian.
Oh, okay.
And I just watched a couple years ago when it came out, Tropic Thunder. Went back to my room late at night in Vegas. Wasn't in the mood for... I just turned it on, laughed my ass off. Thought it was hysterical. Alone in my hotel room. Really wasn't in the mood for a comedy. And just loved that movie.
And won you over.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, it's the one thing we all know as comics is, you know, sometimes there's some guy in the audience with just a shitty look on his face, and he's not... That guy's not going to laugh. No matter... You know what I mean? Like, that guy's not going
to
laugh.
But now, maybe, if he came back to the next show...
Yeah.
you could no, get but through I'm saying, to
like,
him.
I think that's just sort of a, I think what you're talking about is potentially just a human thing. Like if you're just not in the mood for joking, you're just not, maybe it's not going to resonate as much.
But then when I saw Tropic Thunder, I wasn't in the mood.
Right,
and
still,
I turned
it changed
it on
his mood, yeah.
Out of curiosity, and mm-hmm. really, it just really grabbed me. I thought all the performances were spot on. I love the story. So I love when a movie does that, when you're not expecting anything, and it grabs you. That's right. Why I don't like to read reviews. Right. I don't want to know a synopsis of the movie. I'm going to commit. I'm going to go. I love it when movies surprise me.
Yeah.
Happened with Sling Blade. You know, had no idea what the movie was about. Thought it was about in my head was like a bunch of kids out rumbling or something, you know. Had no idea.
It was an S.E.
It was about
novel.
This, you know, mentally retarded guy, and it was just wonderful, so.
Outstanding. Yeah. Well, let's get into some shout-outs.
Yeah.
Who do we need to shout out? Oh, I was just in at Sacramento State University, and also everyone that came out to the Punchline in San Francisco and the Punchline in Sacramento. Great shows.
Trying to get your degree?
Trying to get my degree at Sac State. I think it's going to happen this year.
Fantastic.
You know what I mean? I'm only 75 years old, but I think it's going to work out.
You look good.
Thanks, Dr. Havey. So it was great. We had a lot of people came out with kitten hands and shook my hand. So it was nice. Nice kitten hand folks out there in the Northern California area. We appreciate that.
And we've actually, I'm going to shout out to a bunch of people who gave, been sending emails about the site with some suggestions, comments, and telling
us about
that.
We
love it. Yeah, so we try to answer every single one. Occasionally, we get one really interesting one. One guy emailed and wanted to know if we could help him get an agent.
Yeah, I saw that email.
Yeah, and I actually sent him a long response. I said, look, I'm going
to
give you some
great advice. That's the guy you responded to?
Oh, no, we respond to everybody.
Respond to
this one, right. Because it was such a weird email, I actually specifically responded with a long letter to him. And I said, look, you're a filmmaker. He's a filmmaker. He's like, the only thing I'm missing is an agent. I said, no, you're not. The one thing you're missing is a following.
Yeah, you just have make to, a movie.
Yeah, the agents don't matter. You know, content is king or it's irrelevant. And what happens is, I told him, forget about getting an agent. No agent's going to be interested in you until you're making a lot of money.
Right.
And how do you do that?
Hold on, I got to fire my agent.
Right? Make your movies, make your money, and get a following, and then the agents will come to you.
Especially in this day and age, the way the technology is.
Right. You can reach your audience.
Just make a movie.
Yeah.
And you can get it online and get people to follow it and like it. So just make a movie.
Agents are being laid off right now. I got the hot new kid.
They're eating each other.
Yeah,
it's a cannibalistic world. It's horrifying.
It's amazing that if you're a young guy or girl out there and you're into filmmaking, you can buy everything you need.
You can make your films. You can be a filmmaker.
Hometown.
Yeah,
you can edit it. Right on your MacBook Pro or
we're going to get into that. One of the movies in theaters right now is Monsters. The guy made it on his laptop.
Yeah, and you can distribute it. You can put it online and sell it from wherever. I mean, that's.
So I could have stayed in Miami. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you could.
But you still want to get it. You want to get out of rural Kansas after that first movie.
Yeah.
You know, because extras work for free there, so they don't work for free here.
No.
So let's get into it.
Yeah.
Do we have other shout-outs?
No. Let's go right into the movies right now.
All right. In theaters, we want to talk about Saw 3D.
Well, we don't really have to.
We don't have to.
I mean,
we've talked about this.
If you wanted to see that movie, you saw it. Whatever we say, good or bad, is irrelevant.
Yeah. Is there a review of it up?
No, I couldn't even get Neil to see that.
Neil's
movie.
Not going
to
see it.
It's the seventh one, right?
Yeah.
And even I was like, should I get one of the interns to see it? I'm like,
it doesn't matter. Like we talked about.
You guys have interns? Where are they?
Yeah.
Come on.
They couldn't make it to Santa Monica.
They're not like hot. Yeah, everyone's. There's not like cute girls. They're like a couple of dudes.
So Letterman interns now? Fat white dudes?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. We don't want any sexual harassment.
We got them from Letterman.
We got them from Letterman.
Fantastic. Good move, guys. I hear they like older, grumpy guys.
Yeah.
I'm perfect.
All right. Well, let's do Inside Job.
Let's do
Inside
Job.
You were so fired up to see this movie.
I was so fired. This is the documentary about basically what caused the 2008 financial meltdown. And
vampires.
Vampires and zombies. They did it. It's the same guy that did, I'm blanking on it. It's in my review that's on the site. Anyway, no exit strategy or no, I don't remember my own review. Anyway.
This is the first sign
of
Alzheimer's. I'm here now at a historic medical moment. These guys are, 10 years younger than me? I forgot. What was that movie? I don't know.
It was a movie with that one guy.
That's normally our intern looks that stuff up.
That's what we do with interns. We have them look the stuff up. No, it's a very straightforward documentary. As I wrote in my review of it is up. It's not jazzy like Kid Stays in the Picture, which I like it when a documentary does that. I think this particular film didn't need it because it really doesn't. Or I'm looking it up. No End in Sight. Charles Ferguson is the director. All right, he did.
Good call.
You like that?
Yeah.
I just
ran your finger over your MacBook and remembered.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
So it's very straightforward documentary, which I think for the material that is as dense as this, because it's hard to follow, because it's like, this guy at Goldman Sachs, you know, did this, and then he was put on the board of that, and then he was appointed by this president, and it's really, you're like, huh? And it basically talks about how, very quickly in the beginning, it says, okay, we had the Depression, and then all these regulatory things were put in place after the Depression in the 30s. And really, while we had a recession a little bit in the 70s, we didn't have, like, wholesale financial crimes and problems until the 80s. And basically, he said... I thought I was going to be really mad when I went into this movie. I was laughing because it was so, it's a well-made movie. I was laughing at the fact that it was just, it's so blatant. Like, if you, anyone listening in America that thinks they are aligning with one of the two major parties, go see this movie and you'll find out Wall Street is the party. Like, it's like, as I wrote in my review, it's like professional wrestling. This, the election that we just had today, to me, is just like a joke. Because it's just like every 2 or 4 years, it's, oh, this party, who's ever in charge is evil, get them out, and the new party. And I'm telling you, Reagan, the first Bush, Clinton did a lot of deregulatory stuff, Bush, and then Obama. Obama just appointed the same people. And like
this, Kim Geithner.
Yeah, Geithner, Paulson. And this movie goes into it, and it's so blatant. Yeah. It's literally like... Like
taking a fox, putting it back in the hen house, and say, just don't eat so many chickens.
Yeah. Exactly. It's so blatant. And then you, the guy that put the you create a law, you write a law that says I get a fee for putting my fox in the hen house. And, you know, like the laws that have been written, it's, and they own all the government, and they even now own, like, I didn't know this, all of the economics professors at like Harvard and Columbia are all getting big
stipends and stuff.
Yeah, consultant checks. So they're just educating the young economic minds of the world to say, yeah, this is fine. Just keep stealing money and it's legal. And it was just like, it's mind-blowing.
How do we get rid of these guys? How do we change this? Is there any way to make effective change?
You know, they don't really go into that in this film other than they just sort of leave it open and say, I mean, for me personally, I do put a lot of the blame on all of us registered voters in America because we've just sat by and let it happen. You know, there's 60% voter turnout in presidential elections. This midterm election we just had today, what's it going to be, 30%?
Didn't we have the largest voter turnout for Obama-Bush? I mean, Obama-McCain?
Yeah, but it was like 65.
Right.
That's a D.
Right.
You know what I mean? If we're going to grade it, that's a D. In Afghanistan, where you and I have both been, it's 80 to 85% under penalty of death is the voter turnout.
Well, there's the key, under penalty of death.
We need to start murdering people that don't vote.
Well, you know, we need the cast of Saw 3D to attack the land. I think we got a theme show here. Stay tuned. We have no commercials. I'm sorry.
Great tie-in,
I'm
Alan.
Waiting for a commercial break so I can pee. It's a good thing I have my bag with me.
Actually, you just tell us and we'll pause it and you can go use the John and we'll start.
Right. So the weird thing is today with the
Alan's
pause.
Only 30.
I know.
But yeah, because you guys want to be 22. Yeah. That's not going to happen.
So that's, I recommend watching this movie because it's really, to answer your question, Alan, I think everyone needs to participate more. I think Americans, we just don't want to be bothered. A good friend of mine brought this up. You know, he works at a hotel, and he said, the general manager of the hotel I work at, he's very good at his job. He's an excellent general manager. And outside of that, he just doesn't think he needs to know that much about politics and what's going on. And I think that's kind of where we are as Americans. Like, oh, it's taken care of itself as long as my job and my bills and my life is good.
I'll just watch some cable news, and that'll tell me everything I need to know.
Oh, my God. CNN or Fox, you pick it. They're
or
just,
MSNBC. All of them.
I tell you what, if you really want to get the news in a calm fashion, PBS NewsHour, mm-hmm. yeah. I think it's great. Nobody yells. Nobody screams.
They BBC take their, America, too.
They take their time mm-hmm. with stories. It's not sexy. You know, there's no commercials,
right?
But it's a great way to absorb the news and see what's going on.
Yeah, and you'll when you watch it, or like I read The Economist a lot when I travel. Read The Economist, or like Chris said, BBC America, because it's shocking when you read a story that isn't like, you're gonna die. You know, it's always just like this big, like you say, it's not
how to lose that belly in five easy steps,
and then just some like scare.
Is God angry? Is the apocalypse near?
How soon are you all gonna die if this happens? Like it does. Doesn't have that, and so.
But you're going back to your hotel, though. Hotel manager, he has one vote, and people feel that if they have one vote, they feel insignificant.
I know, and it's just like it, like the 2000 election. If 500 more people would have got out of bed in Florida, we would have a different president.
Well, it is Florida. You know, come on, guys.
They can barely
there's
get
golf,
out of bed.
There's tennis.
They're really good amusement parks.
I think they make seashell lamps down there. Just
great
anything can
beaches.
Distract.
Yeah. Great beaches. So I recommend go seeing Inside Job.
Okay. Well, speaking of Inside Job, the other movie is also called Monsters that we were looking at. And Neil actually saw this, and there's a review on the site, but I wanted to see it for myself. And I have to say, Neil was right on with this movie. This really interesting movie for a couple of different reasons. Mm-hmm. A guy made this movie in his laptop about, you know, a couple going through Mexico through a quarantine zone that has aliens in it, giant aliens. And this guy made this movie on a dime. He run and gun, you know, it's the director, the cinematographer, it's all one guy and two leads. The problem with the movie is that there's not a lot of monsters in it. You call your movie Monsters, it's got to have monsters in it. There's a couple scenes and, you know, does it look great? No. But the thing it looks really good. It looks really good. The thing I love about this movie is it throws down the gauntlet saying, look, I'm a filmmaker without a lot of money. I can make things look really good, too. The technology has reached that point. Mm-hmm. And it has. It looks really good. Does it look as good as, like, Avatar with millions of dollars behind it? No. But here's the thing. The fact that it's anywhere close is amazing.
Do you get the feeling there are monsters out there? Is it like cat people? You know, No, I'm not trying to be funny here. Did you ever see The Bad and the Beautiful? Kirk Douglas movie. Mm-hmm. He plays a young guy. You've never seen that film? No.
We're writing it down right now.
But it's a great film. Vincent Minnelli directed it. But there's a scene where these two young guys in Hollywood, they're trying to be directors, and one guy's trying to be a producer, and they're making a movie called Cat People, and they're putting cat costumes on these actors, and they look ridiculous. And they said, wait a minute, what is just the impression of a cat? Like in the dark, you see a shadow. You know, so Val Newton did this in Cat People. You get the impression that there's something there that you don't see, but it's a lot scarier.
It's
Jaws. It's like the shark in Jaws.
I know exactly what you're talking about, and this movie is not like that at all. This movie is like it wants to be a big-budget kind of Hollywood effects movie with some interesting undertones of like, you know, America, there's a big wall. And it's like, well, is that going to keep them out? Meaning that, you know,
aliens?
Yeah, aliens, but then the undertones are also
what about giant Mexicans that invade the United States?
And the aliens, you get to see them, you know, they're these giant squid-like monsters, and you kind of see them. But the thing about it is it's the subtle details that really make this movie interesting. It's like, it's a demilitarized zone, essentially. So every time there's a scene, you know, there's tanks and there's choppers and stuff, and you realize all of that stuff the guy added on his laptop. Because CG programs, they have libraries. Right. You know, you can add a helicopter here or a tank here or whatever.
I need an aircraft carrier to go through a cornfield.
Exactly. You could do it. You could do it. In fact, he put a boat like in a tree, you know, where an alien could have, you know, thrown it. And it's like those kind of
details.
But
honestly,
really
don't put a boat in a tree.
You really shouldn't. Unless you're a giant alien.
Okay.
Then it's okay.
We don't want, I don't want kids out there listening.
Right. Really? Do you think kids are listening to this podcast? Mom, I'm not going to bed until I listen to the Geek Guys. So, that's it.
The Geek Guys.
So it's really worth seeing. Don't expect to see a lot of monsters in it, but for what it is, it's really remarkable. I really think it just kind of says, hey, look, we can do it too.
Oh, that's awesome. Like we talked about at the top of the show, and we've talked about it in previous episodes. I think it's a great thing. It's like that, and I was just trying to find it on our message board, but we talked about that short film that was done, I believe, in Chile or Peru that where the special effects are just amazing, and somebody
and then actually, the guy got to deal with Sam.
Got to deal with, yeah. And they actually one of our fans posted a clip of it on our message board. So if you go there and scroll back, you'll find it. And I think that's you know, that's the amazing thing. And again, going back to like what you said to that kid that wrote the email, like, oh, I need an agent. No, make something really cool, put it online, a bunch of people like it.
The guy that made Monsters, now he has an agent.
Yeah, now he has an agent.
He made his movie, it got distributed, now he has an agent.
And just because you have an agent doesn't mean that everything's fine now.
Yeah,
exactly.
And what you got to remember is that an agent works for you.
Right.
You don't work for the agent. Your agent is not your friend. I'm just giving out a little show business wisdom.
Like it. It's 100%
Lay
true.
Lay it down, doctor. Lay it down.
You might want to tell the kids at home why you call me doctor. You want to talk about you and Doug Benson in Reno? Do you want to go over that story?
And the word prostate? What?
We'll tell that story real quick. We were working in Reno Thanksgiving in 97, I want to say.
Might be.
The Reno Hilton, the wonderful improv that is no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
And
Howie wasn't there.
Howie was not there. No. It was, I forget who the house MC was, but... I was younger, so I was back. I was still boozing it up. We had a couple of shows. We had a Friday night show or something like that. And so I went out crazy. Doug got in a poker tournament. and like I was out till 5 a.m. Doug played cards. He was playing cards through the night. And I like got back at like 6 a.m. And I like, this is back before cell phones. So I unplugged the phone in my room. Because I was like, I just need to sleep. And he was like, it was coming up on showtime.
It's coming up on showtime. And I know Doug's down at the poker tournament because anytime I go, where is Graham? He says, AWOL. No one can get to him. And finally, I try to call his room. It's not happening. I go and bang on the door. And this bloated, hungover Graham Elwood opens the door. What's going on? I go, come on, showtime, man. Let's get it together. All right, put it on. And I think you called me Sarge.
Well, yeah. here's how you said that. Here's how I remember hearing you knock at the door. And I was like, huh? And you were like, you know, it's 7:40. The show's at 8. And I was like, okay. And I was like, all right, man, I'll get together. And the thing is, you took a pause and you went, let's go, man. Let's pull it together. Let's go. Like...
And in your head, you're probably thinking, yes, sir.
No, I mean, exactly. I was like, oh, shit. And he was just, I could see in his face, he was like a parent or an uncle who was just like, Doug's at some card game. I don't know if he makes it to the finals. Like,
I was a professional comedian, disappointed in both of you. That's what I was. I was not your father figure. This is like, really? You're in show business? You have 23 and a half hours to get ready for a gig, and you can't do it.
Per day.
Yeah, per day.
I know.
Well, it's...
So anyway, I just wanted to get to the genesis of why I'm called Dr. Havey.
So that we were calling him Doctor and Sergeant Havey and everything, so now we call him Doctor because it was so great. Come on. And the great thing was, I wish I had it on film because you said it... And like as you were walking away, you're like, let's pull it together and just walk down the hallway.
It's like a gym coach at halftime.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we're down 17 points. You guys look like a bunch of girls.
Let's pull it together.
Hit the showers and let's get going.
It was really like you said, like I'm a like you're in show business. You want to go out and get crazy. Fine.
Yeah.
But come 6 o'clock, get a shower, shave, put on a fresh shirt and get down there and be funny.
Yeah.
It was like Dustin
Take
Hoffman
care of business.
And Wag the Dog.
Yeah.
He goes, you know how many times I've been to a 10 a.m. meeting, you know, coke to the gills, yeah. And I don't know what the pitch is, yeah. And I sold it.
Yeah.
You know.
This is nothing.
Yeah.
Dr. Havey, ladies and gentlemen.
Now you saw another movie, Conviction.
I saw Conviction today, which has got kind of a limited release. This is the movie with, I don't know, a bunch of people are in it. No, Sam Rockwell is in it and Hilary Swank. And it's an excellent movie.
Where she goes to law school to get...
Yeah, it's based on a true story. Her brother, Sam Rockwell plays a brother. He's...
Has he ever been bad in anything?
Oh, he's Sam so... Rockwell, no. He's solid.
Yeah, I've never...
He was
never...
even good in Charlie's Angels.
Oh, he's the one guy that would stand out in a shitty movie.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that's what happened.
I've never seen him give a bad performance. Mm-mm. Ever.
No, the bad guy in Iron Man 2... Like, which was kind of a mediocre film. He was great in it.
Yeah, he was great.
He always had like a... I mean, and he just...
And one of my favorite movies, The Assassination of Jesse James.
Yeah.
I, he
Did
was,
you see him in Moon?
No, I haven't seen Moon yet.
He's literally the only actor in it. Yeah. It's fantastic.
I mean, yeah, if you're a fan of Sam Rockwell, I mean, Hilary Swank does a great job. Yeah. I think she's a fine actress, and she's kind of been making a...
Two Oscars, by the way.
Yeah.
Huh? Mm-hmm.
She's been making a pretty good living of playing these real-life stories.
Two Oscars, one less husband.
Yeah, well, something's got to give.
Did you see Amelia?
No.
Yeah, it's pretty tough to get through.
Yeah, I heard that.
That's what Laura House.
If you can get through that, you don't need to go to boot camp.
Right.
Let's go, Amelia. Get it together.
What's the deal with the overbite, honey?
So, it's you know, anytime you go into a true story, I mean, this is a true story that I don't really know that much personally. Maybe if you live in Massachusetts, you'd know more about this story. So I didn't know anything about the real story, which was a good thing. And they did a really nice job of showing what, like, I never knew. And I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's in question. Did he do it? Did he not do it? And a couple times in my head, I was like, you know, someone's given to their, look, you got to let this go. And I was like, yeah, you know what? Maybe you should. I mean, in my head, I was like, fucking let it go. But it's a testament to how the pacing and the tone of it keeps you like, I don't know.
That's great. When it involves you emotionally, I love movies that do that.
And here's another way that they do it. Sam Rockwell. The scenes between her and him where, you know, constantly across a table in prison, she keeps visiting him and talking about it. He's wrestling with being life in prison and everything. His performances, man, are just amazing. And he does things in his performances that make you go, well, I don't know. You know, and it's just
a rock. Did he have tan hands?
Yeah, he did have tan hands and a weird accent. Made no sense. I didn't get that point. You come from a family of thieves and butchers. But honestly, this is an excellent movie, and it's getting a limited release, and I hope it gets some Oscar push, because everybody's all the ancillary characters are very good, and it's a really solid movie. It's worth seeing. So Conviction, go check it out.
Great. All right, let's get right into Alan's specialty. Alan is an expert on classic films, and we look forward to his column.
I wouldn't say an expert. I'm a fan, but thank you.
He's a fan.
I would say expert. I've read your column.
Your columns are amazing. Yeah. For anyone out there who is wanting to know more about classic films.
And why they're great. And why they're classics. Great.
And what makes them great. And how they're broken down. Because you always in your column, the thing I love about it is you talk about how the impression you had when you saw it first time when you were a kid.
Right.
And then you carry that impression into it today, which always helps, because sometimes, you know, when you watch a movie from... I left my door open. You probably can hear some people yelling.
from the bowling alley.
From the bowling alley. It's going off.
Someone got a strike.
I think that was a pickup of spares yell. I don't think that was a strike yell. Of course, I'm a little older than you guys.
No, but I mean, like, you have to put movies sometimes in their context, because if you put it next to, because the rating system was stricter and there's certain things you couldn't say and stuff like that. So to go into like what you think makes a film a classic.
Well, I started watching movies when I was a kid on television. You know, and that's when I first saw movies, and we're talking about Tube. This is back in the 60s. You know, so I would stay up late at night, and every Sunday I would get up and look at the movies for the week, what was going to be on. And anything that really affects you emotionally or just, you know, really makes you think, really stays with you, to me, is a classic movie. And the reason I talk about that in the column is, like, when I first saw the movie... I just want to get the point across that if you know, they only showed in theaters briefly. Mm-hmm. You know, you had to see it in the theater or on television. There was no VCRs, and maybe you saw a movie, a good movie, come back for a second run, but you really had to get out there and see a movie. So there was a more immediacy to it. Nowadays, when a movie comes out, you think, well, you know, I can catch that on cable. I'll catch that on Netflix. I don't need to see that. There's not that sense of urgency mm-hmm. to see a film. And I was born in 54,
So about in the late 60s, when I started to go out movies to the theaters on my own, I was able to grab a bus as a kid and, mm-hmm. and go to the theaters. And that's when the great movies started.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, I mean, they're classic 30s, 40s, and 50s. But I mean, as far as contemporary films go, the 70s is now known as the best decade for films.
You're the one who turned me on to the book Easy Rider's Raging Bulls, which for anyone out there listening, read that book. It is the definitive book that talks about what happened in the 70s to create all those great movies and all the craziness that went along with it.
Peter Biskin wrote that, mm-hmm. and he talks about the end of the studio era and during the 60s, and then we come along with Bonnie and Clyde and Easy Rider, and then you get a lot of independent movies, and they realize we don't have to make these huge, colossal extravaganzas to keep people at home, to keep people in the theaters.
You don't need The Wizard of Oz.
Right, but although The Wizard of Oz was made in 39, but during the 50s, to compete with television, studios made huge CinemaScope films, spectacles that you couldn't see at home. But once you get into the 70s, people were interested in stories. Mm-hmm. And then you had movies like Clute and MASH. And, you know, MASH was basically an independent film that really hit big.
Right.
You know, so it was just like there was always something to see every week. And that's when I really fell in love with movies and movie making. Mm-hmm. I just loved it.
Now, what during that time, like what were a few of the movies that really just kind of stuck with you? Like when you realized the 70s, this was kind of where the golden age was. What were a couple of the real standouts for you?
The Godfathers, mm-hmm. both of those, Chinatown. I remember when I first saw Mean Streets in 73. It was one of those movies like it. Not only I believed it, like this was real. But it wasn't like the gangster movies I saw when I was a kid on television, you know, the 30s and 40s.
It had less polish. It had a rawness and an energy to it.
And it really gave me the incentive. I got to go to New York when I get out of college. And I didn't want to be around these people, but I wanted to be in a city where these people could exist. It was that movie and the album Darkness on the Edge of Town that really said, you got to get your ass to New York. You know, I mean, those are two huge influences on my life.
So really, Martin Scorsese launched your career indirectly.
Absolutely. And you know, it's funny. When I moved to New York in 1979, I was living in Hell's Kitchen, and I'm in my apartment. I'd been in New York for 6-7 months, you know, right out of college. I go, why am I here? What the hell am I doing here? You know, and I walk down the stairs, and I look out my vestibule, a little window out on 47th Street, and there, as if framed by, you know, John Huston in the window, is Scorsese and De Niro talking. They had stopped on that street to shoot a scene for Raging Bull, which was coming out next year. So it was like, oh, right, that's why I'm here.
Wow.
You know, so that was like a moment where God said, oh, you want a little, you know, you need a little inspiration?
A little taste.
Here it is, right here. This is what you came in here for. Same thing happened to me years later when I moved to L.A., like in the mid-90s, about 96, 97. I'm coming back from Beverly Hills. I had a meeting or something. I'm driving. I'm like, what the hell is this town? What can it offer anybody? This soulless, plastic town. And as if cued by God, a ray of light comes across. I'm driving across Santa Monica Boulevard on Cannon Drive. Black Mercedes, top down, Jack Nicholson. Just driving. It was like the two moments in my life where I asked myself, what the hell am I doing in this town? Well, I got the answer right away.
You should do it more often.
Yeah.
Why don't I have these lottery numbers?
Yeah.
I don't play the lottery. I work for my money the hard way.
Let's go. Let's get it together.
Yeah. Come on, boys.
But early movies that influenced me was I'm a Fugitive from a Chain Gang, which I wrote about.
It's great.
A column. I don't know. But when I was a kid, I saw that it had a profound effect on me. Not only what films can do, but I found out much, much later it was a true story. And I think when you watch a movie, it doesn't matter whether it's true or not, but if you find out later it's a true story, I think it has more of an impact on
even
you.
Even old movies like that whole noir genre, like even Concrete Jungle that you also reviewed was fantastic.
Yeah.
And you see just... when
Concrete
you go back,
Jungle?
Yeah, isn't that the...
No. That's not me, but you know.
I thought it was. Which one did you do? It was... or am I getting the name wrong? Was it Concrete?
It was.
I don't think there was any Concrete...
Concrete something else?
Oh, something, way to go.
Do a search on Alan Havey's articles.
We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Right after. This is when we cut to commercials, you see.
But movies like, okay, well, we can say Blackboard Jungle or Maltese Falcon. When you go back and watch these movies.
Oh, you're thinking about the Asphalt Jungle.
Asphalt Jungle. John Huston.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. When you look at these movies, especially with the contemporary eye, you can see all the influences of the modern movies. Right now, I'm like, oh, this is where a lot of the stuff came from. This is where the art of movie making was crafted and formulated. Now we're either... we're either expanding it and building on it, or we're destroying it with these movies that come out.
For me, like one of the big influences I had was watching Twilight Zone reruns when I was a kid, because it was shot and it was so film noir, and he always had these like sketchy, skeevy characters in it in so many of the episodes, and that's to me like Rod Serling, like. And these movies like Asphalt Jungle and stuff like that captured that underbelly, you know, like I felt the same way, like growing up in Chicago, like I wanted to see the underbelly. And I think maybe that's part of what gets people into being a comic is you don't want regular life.
If you lived in Chicago, all you had to do was take the L to see the underbelly.
Yeah. Well, like I remember when that movie Thief came out. Because I grew up in Madison, Wisconsin, then we moved to Chicago when I was like 11 or 12, and I saw Thief, and then we moved. And Thief, man, is a great film.
Is that Michael Mann?
I believe so. It's James Caan is in it.
Right. Jim Belushi.
Oh God, it's.
It's the last good thing he did before The World According to Jim.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you want to see him in a different character.
Oh, there's so many great characters in that. I mean, and he. Just the way that movie is done, and like I heard an interview with James Caan when he was saying that character, he took all the contractions out of the script because this guy was so precise, he would not use a contraction for anything. He didn't want what he said to be confused by you for anything. So he wouldn't say couldn't or shouldn't. He would say, I would not, I could not, I am not going. Like it was.
Well, that's an actor that cares about his craft,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and that's also, you know, going back to, he was great.
Now, that was on a DVD or an interview you saw?
That was an interview. I believe it was
inside. At the bowling alley behind your house.
Yeah, he's at the bowling alley. I saw Jimmy Caan throwing a.
There's a movie right there behind the bowling alley, see? There's a pin boy. He's old. They don't need him anymore.
And the mob wants him out.
Yeah, that's the ticket, sure.
So, Alan, let me ask you one question. What's a movie, a classic film, that you can watch over and over again?
Oh, God. There's, you know, The Bad and the Beautiful? I like that. The Maltese Falcon. Mm-hmm.
That's mine. I think Maltese Falcon.
It's and if you read the book, he took the scripts in the book. It's right there. So, God, there's so many. You know what movie I really love? And it's Ben-Hur.
Oh, yeah.
Bridge on the River Kwai.
Yep. I saw that when I was a kid. I was living in Germany, and there was this theater. My dad was...
It was during the war.
It was, yes, I was in Guadalcanal.
In Germany?
In Germany, yeah. I did both. I was in both theaters of war. I was in...
God.
Yeah. Eisenhower and MacArthur were both taking care of me. Anyway, there was this... My dad was a college professor, and so we would go see these movies. And I remember watching that movie as a kid, a young 6-7 years old. And my brothers and sisters were like, "Oh, this is boring." And I remember just being like
mesmerized
by that movie. Like it was so amazing to me.
And I saw it in black and white when I was a kid.
Really?
On television. Wow. You know, no letterbox.
Yeah. Right.
Pan and scan.
So it's
still
like
had. Yeah. It still had a profound effect on me. And of course, the beauty of it is like as I got older and when they re-released it, I saw it at the Ziegfeld in New York. On the big screen, which was just like, oh my God, this is fantastic.
Is the thing, when I first moved to Los Angeles...
You get to see a train going off a bridge. Spoiler alert.
When I first moved to Los Angeles...
Thanks, Chris. Yeah. I hate guys like you.
Thanks.
I just ruined it.
We just blew the whole Bridge Over the River Kwai movie. Thanks.
I knew there was a bridge, but I knew what happened.
Tell me what happens in the end of The Godfather.
And it was over a river.
You know, when Harrison Ford was on The Tonight Show once, he was promoting The Fugitive. Mm-hmm. You know, it was going back several years. And he goes, Jay Leno said, "Hey, you know, that train got off the tracks. How'd you do that?" And Harrison Ford said, "We had a train go off the tracks." You know, I mean,
oh, wow, I think that maybe, you know, maybe you get a toy train and then shut it in. Yeah, great question,
What a great
Jay.
Interview. Should we want to get into DVDs?
Yeah, let's do it. Let me go
a few more. Lawrence of Arabia.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course.
Oh, that's amazing. Here's what I was going to say about when I moved to LA, what I fell in love with this town, when everyone was like, all my friends in Chicago are like, oh, I'm going to New York. It's better. LA is all, like you said, it's plastic. I love the fact I saw Apocalypse Now, Ben-Hur, Godfather 1 and 2, all on the big screen. Like all these movies that I had only seen on video and had never seen on the big screen. I remember watching Apocalypse Now at the Cinerama Dome, and the way they did the sound, I heard the helicopter fly over my head.
Yes.
And I was just, I had chills.
Or it's L.A., that probably was an actual helicopter.
It was a real helicopter. It was LAPD tracking somebody down.
No, but now, right now, as you're saying this, there are people out there who are salivating.
Yeah.
You know, young people who are really into film who don't have that opportunity.
Yeah, we saw Lawrence of Arabia on the Cinerama Dome. It's unbelievable. Restored 70mm.
Let me take this a little bit further, step further. At the Aero Theater on Montana.
I saw Seven Samurai there like a couple years ago.
Montana Avenue, I saw Strangers on a Train. And Farley Granger, the actor who played the tennis player, came up afterwards and did a Q&A with the audience.
Wow.
I saw Fitzcarraldo and Werner Herzog came. And when I saw Fitzcarraldo when it first came out, he said in interviews, and all, I had some film geek friends who said, he didn't use any miniatures in the movie. It was all the real boat. And I said, no, there was a shot there of a miniature. And they said, no, you don't know what you're talking about. Werner Herzog said, I don't give a fuck what he says. I saw a miniature. So it's showing now at Arrow about 8-9 months ago. I get on the line, I get a ticket, I go, because he's going to be there, right? We watch the movie again. It's great to see him. He's sitting like 3 seats away from me. He gets to do a Q&A. My hand shot up. I said, was there a miniature at that scene? He goes, yeah, I cheated. You know?
Yeah.
So it was so satisfying to, you know, finally, not that I like to be right. Of course I do. Everybody does. But the fact that, you know, it bothered me that all these interviews and all these film geeks were in and said, no, he didn't use miniatures. So I called my buddy in New York. And I told him, and he forgot about it.
Oh, wow.
I said, come on.
Bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think the moral of the story is don't trust Germans.
Yeah. And I saw on Her Majesty's Secret Service recently, and George Lazenby was there.
Oh,
and got up and just was charming and talked a lot about it. And, of course, you had a lot of James Bond geeks there.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Guys, hey, you're my James Bond, man. You were the first James Bond I saw. But it's really great living in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
Because there's so many people that are still here. Nobody leaves Southern California.
No.
You know, I saw Tony Dow from Leave It to Beaver walking down the street. Barbara Billingsley, who just passed away. June Lockhart live in my neighborhood. I see them. Joe Turkel, the guy from The Blade Runner. He owns the company.
Oh, yeah.
He gets his head crushed. Mm-hmm. He's been in a ton of films. I see him in line at the bank. So, you know, these people
What neighborhood
still here.
Do you live in?
Santa Monica.
Oh, yeah.
You know, fourth and...
The retirement community.
Yeah, you live in the valley where it's all
porn stars
and character actors.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, there's the guy from the Pepsi ad.
Right. Hey, excuse me, sir. I really enjoyed you in Dune Buddies.
Right.
I love you as the weird neighbor in every episode of every ABC sitcom that's been out.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Boy, you know how to deliver
someday,
a pizza.
Disney Channel.
Yeah, it's the Disney Channel guy.
Well, Santa Monica, the amazing thing about here is, like you said, literally no one ever leaves because you're right by the beach, you're rent controlled. Why would you leave?
Even in Southern California.
Southern California, you know? Yeah. I mean, when people are like, why would you live in L.A.? I'm always like, if you like movies, this is the...
Movies, the beach, and surfing.
This is the epicenter. I mean, it's like the greatest, like you say, you see all... I've seen so many amazing movies. Like, I remember when Seven Samurai came out, I was single, and I was like, I'm going to go see Seven Samurai.
Because you could do that when you were single.
Because I was single.
You could go to a movie and say, I'm going to go see, some Japanese dudes with subtitles.
Yeah. And a friend of mine goes, are you going to bring a
girl? Is it animated?
I go, yeah. A friend of mine goes, are you going to bring a girl? I was like, let's see. What girl in L.A. wants to go see a 3.5-hour Japanese samurai movie with subtitles?
And here's the crazy thing.
In black and white.
Here's the crazy thing. The answer is probably a lot of them.
A lot of them. I just couldn't find them at the time.
Right.
So I went.
All you had to do was go to the art school.
Yeah.
Hey, honey, want to go see a Kurosawa? Come on, let's go.
Yeah. Any girls want to see some Kurosawa with me? All right. Yojimbo coming up next. well, that's awesome. All right. Well, we need to move on. But
yes. DVDs coming up. Toy Story 3, amazing movie. Great way to finish the trilogy. What did you think, Alan?
Loved it. Yeah, loved it. I loved the first, second, and third one. It was fantastic. I watched it on the plane, actually, coming back from New York recently. And boy, they know how to manipulate
you. Oh, it tugs you. It tugs you.
But it's all believable. It's funny. Yep. It's real. And I love the first two.
Yep.
You know, so it was just great to see. I love movies that are fun.
They almost didn't happen. When you look at like what Disney was trying to do, they're trying to do, oh no, let's just do straight to video releases of Toy Story and all that stuff. And then
from the first one?
Oh yeah, that was like the original plan. And then Pixar was like, no, forget it. And then when Pixar took over, that's the first thing they did was can all those. We're not doing direct to video sequels of these brilliant properties, yours and ours, and they took over the sequels, and you know, it's thank God, really. They made great movies.
Like, movies should be bigger than you.
Yeah,
of course they should. Yeah,
and it's great now that people are getting big screens at home. Mm-hmm. But anytime, and it's hard. It's tougher to afford. But anytime you can see a movie on the big screen,
you got
to
see it.
Yeah,
it's there's nothing like it. I mean, again, sitting at home with a big screen and surround.
It's getting closer,
but it's still not a 40-foot screen. No. You are immersed.
And here's the one good thing.
There's no pause button.
Yeah. No.
You got to pee
no.
too bad. And, you know, just tell people around you to shut up. That's my big problem.
Well, yeah. and that's the one good thing about, like,
home theater?
And actually about the more high-end theater chains now, they actually charge more per seat. They give you an assigned seat, but it's policed. Everything looks good. They check the sound.
And I'm telling you, when you go to Arclight in LA, when you're paying more per ticket, I was against it at first. It weeds out the morons. Yeah. There's no high school kids in there, like cell phone chatting and that kind of nonsense.
It does happen every once in a while, but it's rare.
It's rare.
Like, it's, you know, it doesn't like, oh, I hope I get a good audience. 90% of the time you will. Which is kind of, you know, it's a little more expensive, but it's like, oh, I can enjoy the movie now.
Yeah,
bring apple slices. Right. You know, don't buy the popcorn.
Right. Make sure everything's in a cellophane bag when you bring your own food in.
And make your own daiquiris.
Now, Centurion is out on DVD. I saw this movie. This was a crazy movie. This is the guy that directed Dog Soldiers and The Descent. He made this movie about Roman centurions being chased by this witch, this Pictish witch. And the thing I love about this guy's movies is that nothing is ironic. He plays everything straight. It's all British actors. There's nothing. There's no wink to the camera. It's like this brutal, visceral, you know, bloody kind of story that
he's
telling.
There's witches chasing us.
All right, hey. What are we going to do now?
Blimey.
Is there a better horror movie you've seen in the last 20 years than Shaun of the Dead?
That was a good movie.
Wow, that's a great movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I laughed and I was horrified at the same time.
Yeah.
It's hard to capture that.
Now, it really is.
Shaun of the Dead.
The interesting thing, not everyone agrees with this, but I actually really liked the first Paranormal Activity. I thought it was really scary and creepy. And the thing is, and I'm telling people this too, it's not as scary and creepy if you watch it at home and you're getting something to eat or you're doing your bills. If you watch it in a theater filled with packed, scared people, it has a huge, profound, old-school horror movie effect. Like, you know, people yelling, oh my God!
Yeah.
You know,
and it's like when I first saw Rocky in college in 76, when it came out, 75, 76, when Rocky knocks out he knocks him down in the first round. People got up out of their seats and went crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a fun experience. Like, we got an email actually. Somebody wants to call me out as to why I like M. Night Shyamalan's Signs.
Oh, yeah. He was furious.
He was furious. He's like, wait a minute. How come Graham
says...
Defend yourself. And I will finally...
And I have to ask you, too.
I will finally do that. I saw it. First of all, I liked Sixth Sense. I loved it. I was so on board with this guy. I was he's a great filmmaker.
Too. I agree.
Me too.
That original script was great, too.
And the trailers for Signs, I was like, this looks awesome. I saw it opening night at the Chinese Theater in Hollywood. Packed audience. And
well, you like the Asian thing, Samurai Chinese theater.
Yes. Yes, I...
You won't go to the Egyptian.
I won't. I don't trust them. That's a curse. The Egyptian theater is cursed.
I'm afraid you're going to get a sit on a scarab beetle.
Yeah, yes, exactly. You know me.
Mommy.
We talked about this.
Mommy, I'm scared. Let me write that down. I could use that for the act.
That's going into the act, folks.
Uh-huh.
No, but I saw Signs in a packed theater opening night at the Chinese Theater, which if you ever come to LA, see a big budget movie at the Chinese Theater. It is amazing. It is a cathedral to cinema.
Yeah, it's great. It's a lot of history.
I've seen Saving Private Ryan there. I saw the first Matrix there. I've seen amazing movies.
We saw Terminator 3 there.
Yeah.
Wow. I saw the Maltese Falcon there.
Really? Oh,
wow. I saw The Godfather there.
Yeah. When they re-released Godfather, I saw it there.
And they pan that one scene when he comes out to Hollywood, when Robert Duvall comes out to Hollywood, they pan around and they show the Chinese Theater.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everybody in the theater applauded.
Yeah.
Hey, we're here.
This is it.
We did that with Speed. Remember with Speed when the subway comes up right outside Chinese Theater and everyone's like,
That movie horrified me.
Yeah, that was not a good movie. That was definitely the best part, seeing it in the Chinese Theater.
There's a bomb on the bus. So anyway, that's where I saw Signs, and people were screaming. It was when the alien first showed...
In the video?
On the video, I went, I screamed out loud. I had so much fun seeing it. So I got caught up in it. I wasn't sitting there going, why would they invade a planet where there's water everywhere if water's the thing that killed them? Like, I wasn't sitting there doing that. I was just along for the ride.
So you weren't going that, these aliens can be thwarted by water?
Water.
An inhaler or a pantry door?
Yeah, exactly.
And why would aliens land on a planet that's two-thirds water?
Yeah, exactly.
That was the big question I had.
Okay, now after hearing your explanation, Graham, I think you're still wrong.
Yeah. Mob mentality rules, Graham Elwood.
I would say this. If I were to sit down and watch it on DVD now, I would probably have all these, this and that. But I saw it. I had a blast when I saw it.
You had an emotional reaction.
It was fun.
To a shitty movie.
And again, had I seen it 6 weeks into the run, empty theater, I probably would have gone, But opening night, all the hype coming off of Sixth Sense, I was so on board and I had a blast.
Well, Unbreakable was in between too.
I loved Unbreakable.
Okay, well, there you go. You were still on the
I was so on board with him because people were like, oh, Unbreakable, it's no Sixth Sense. I was like, okay, E.T. is no Saving Private Ryan. I'm like, they're different movies. He hadn't gotten it.
I just love the voices you do.
They're great. Yeah. Hello. I'm watching songs, I am.
Well, 99, when Sixth Sense came out, I remember that movie, Three Kings. It was like I went to the theaters and saw four movies in a row that I loved.
Yeah,
that hadn't happened since the 70s.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, that was a great year for film, 99.
And M. Night, I still think, can make a good movie. He just needs to...
where we part company.
I think he's capable. Here's what I think the problem that happened with him, and I know we were going off on a tangent.
Yeah, we are.
Supposed to be talking about DVDs, but I think M. Night is doing that thing where he thinks his movies have to all have these same elements in them, and he needs to just tell good stories. That's what filmmaking is.
Now, that's under the assumption that he's capable of it.
Yeah, maybe he's not. No. Maybe I'm just holding on.
Sixth Sense that he was capable of.
It was, and that's... But,
and
you know,
Unbreakable.
And we talk about this, you know, you can have a one-hit wonder in films, too.
Sure.
With songs and everything else.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he is that. I don't know. I keep hoping for the best.
All right. Well, let's time will tell.
Yes. Like the Goonies 25th anniversary Blu-ray edition. There's no reason to talk about this. You're either going to buy this because you're a Goonies fan or you're not.
Yeah, no, just not into the Goonies.
Yeah. If you're not Goonies, it's not for you.
I just think it's interesting that all these nostalgic movies are coming back with anniversary editions on Blu-ray because it's
a marketing tool.
That's exactly what it is.
Weekend at Bernie's Blu-ray.
Yeah,
25th.
Yeah, I'm like, well, because you wonder where it's going to end. Is there going to be... That's a great point.
That in 3D is not going to end.
It's like, okay, well, what else is an anniversary edition? Like Cannonball Run.
Let's hope. Tom DeLuise and Cannonball Run. Outstanding. All right.
Opening this week, Megamind, the animated movie with Brad Pitt and Will Ferrell. I think it looks horrible.
Really?
I think it's like an Incredibles wannabe kind of movie, and I really think it's going to fall flat because it's got all these elements that's trying to cobble together from much better films.
Could be. I think it's probably something I will wait to see it on a plane.
Well, you might be in luck.
What about Due Date, guys?
Due Date?
See how I'm moving it along here?
I wasn't on board for Due Date until the new trailer came out. Now I want to see it now.
Really?
Yeah, I think I'm on board. I want to see it. I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt. I think it could go either way.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
He's giving it the benefit of the doubt. I like Zach. I think he's a really good performer and a very funny actor.
I think he's really funny, and I liked Hangover, so I'm curious to see how this goes. You know, I'm curious to see the trailer. if it wasn't Zach in the trailer, I'd be like, this doesn't look like it's funny. But I want to see this because I know how funny Zach is, and I'm wondering.
He'll steal some scenes.
He'll steal some scenes, and I think Robert Downey Jr. is
terrific actor.
Yeah,
he's. Well, I remember when I first saw Chaplin. I said, what, the guy from SNL? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And then I saw the movie and went, oh.
Or Less Than Zero, that guy.
Mm-hmm. Pass the Crow.
Yeah. So, 127 hours. This looks fantastic, this movie.
It looks fantastic.
Is this with Russell Crowe?
No, this is the one with
James Franco.
James Franco, who it's the true story about a hiker that falls
the rock
off
climber.
Yeah,
to cut off his own arm
to survive.
Yeah. The trailer I saw for it looks amazing. It just kind of briefly goes into who the guy is up until he gets caught. I've heard that the
don't give it away now.
I've just heard that the it's people have passed out watching him get out of this. So that's the only thing I'm hesitant about. Not that it isn't a good movie, but that I'm just a squeamish guy. So
kind of like Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. I heard people fainted during that.
Yeah, it might have some elements like that. Like
it might be shot in such a realistic way that it just makes you.
James Franco, I think, is an excellent actor.
Fantastic. Ever since James Dean.
Oh, yeah.
TNT miniseries.
He won the Golden Globe for that.
Yeah, he's amazing.
I studied with him at Playhouse West. We were in the same class together. He thanked.
You couldn't grab his coattails?
No. I tried.
Nothing on Freaks and Geeks?
Nothing. I couldn't get a damn thing. That's why I got to go on the road and tell jokes. I can't. I should be cutting my arm off in Moab. But
you can play the chiropractor.
Yeah, something.
You don't need to play the lead.
Yeah, Jimmy, you listen to this? Throw a guy a bone.
I'm sure there's an actor that didn't get that role in 127 ago and is going right now, I could have cut my own arm off.
I would have done it to get that part. Yeah. But it looks amazing. So
please show your ticket stub at the door. Yeah.
For Colored Girls, this is Tyler Perry.
Tyler Perry, based on a play, and it's like, and poetry, and it's like just a bunch of like segments about women.
We've talked about Tyler Perry. I mean, God bless the man. He has made movies to a demographic.
God has blessed the man. He doesn't need to bless him anymore.
The most successful playwright of all time.
Of all time.
Yeah.
His movies continually
make Tennessee
money.
Williams, Arthur Miller, David
Jammet. Those hacks. Yeah.
Those dicks, yeah.
Finally, they're getting their due.
Cat on a hot tin roof, blah, blah, blah.
But I mean, like...
Death of a salesman. Everybody dies.
For colored girls who can't get enough, or for colored girls... Who considered suicide when the rainbow isn't enough.
Very good. That was the
original play.
The
It was in New York in the 70s at the Public. I got there afterwards, but the people that saw the play were just blown away. Yeah,
and that wouldn't fit on a movie poster, so they should.
I mean,
it's not being promoted as a Tyler Perry film.
Because of the play.
Although he wrote, co-wrote the script and directed it.
But they don't want to lump it in with his usual lighthearted
Medea.
Yeah,
right.
And we talked about it on this show. You know, he has made movies to a demographic that has been largely ignored by Hollywood. So go for it. Keep doing it. You know what I mean? I don't know that I'm going to see it, but go for it. You know what I mean?
All right.
I got a couple recommendations for movies.
Oh, you know what? We're going to save those for the iPhone app. We have a special place where our guest actually does movie picks.
And this is a whole
trust me,
buddy,
we got it figured out.
We got it all wired in.
Yeah, yeah. So that'll
do
be.
Do we
a
need
special.
A green screen? Did I wear the right shirt?
Yes.
You know, I'm walking out of the house.
Ooh, you wore white.
My wife said, "You're not going to wear that. You're doing a podcast." I go, "Honey, it's audio."
Yeah.
it's not. Oh, okay. Have a good time.
And so she went, "That's what I meant."
That's what I meant.
She's not that quick.
Yeah.
That's why I married her. When she says, "Where are you going?" Here's what I say: out. And here's what she says: have a good time. That's why I married her.
Oh, God,
one of the many reasons.
Well, let's
talk about. We'll do our little wrap ups and stuff, and let's talk about Alan. Where can we see you? Where can we find you? We've got.
I'll be in Las Vegas at the Harrah's Improv next week, November 9th through the 14th.
Great.
I'll be in Lake Tahoe December 7th through the 12th, I believe. What else is coming up? I'm doing a one man show.
At the
Comedy Central Workspace here in Hollywood. It's a work in progress, but it's called God's Camera. It's a comedic journey from kindergarten to Carson. It just talks about my influence, how I got my influence as a comedian, and some stories, a lot of stuff about my dad and, you know, road stories and things like that that I've compiled.
When is that going to be?
Well, we're doing it December 17th.
Nice.
December 16th, 17th. Okay. So I've been working on that and rehearsing at home. It's so unusual because you really can't do this in comedy clubs.
No.
So,
That's kind of new territory for me. I've developed a seminar for college students who are theater called Curtain Up that I've done at a few campuses. I'm trying to get that out there. It's basically, I've asked a lot of people in my business who have made a living for like 20, 30 years, what did you do when you first got out of college that helped? What did you do that didn't help? And I found out even it's, you know, it has nothing to do with computers or having an iPhone. They're all basic. It's just great advice. And I
like, get it together.
Yeah. You've got 23 and a half hours.
Let's go. Showtime's in 15. Let's pull it together.
And I got a screenplay that a producer's looking at that he's really interested in. He's really hot on.
Nice.
So that's kind of nice. That's, you know.
That's awesome. And where can people find you online?
AllenHavey.com, AllenHavey.com.
Excellent. And we'll be seeing more columns from Alan at Comedy Film Nerds. We love getting them.
Yes.
The voice
and,
of classic
film. And,
you
know, send in, like, old movies that have affected you. If you read the column, stuff like that, I'd love to get emails.
Yeah.
Love to get
yeah.
any kind of suggestions, any questions, any arguments, any, you know, if you saw one of the movies that I wrote about and it sucked, tell me why.
Email us at the site. We'll forward it to Alan. You know
absolutely.
What I mean?
So, or you can post something on the message
post
boards.
Something
we
on
all
the message
read them.
Boards. Yeah, we'll meet him. We'll forward it all to Alan because we love
him. You know, maybe we'll start a new thread just for Alan.
Let's
we'll
do it.
We'll
start
do a Film Vault
call
thread.
It Just for Alan.
Yeah.
Special little Alan. It's a new M. Night Shyamalan film, Just for Alan.
Just for
I would go see that. Though.
I would just see Just for Alan. I absolutely would. All right, let's do our shout out. This Saturday, November 6th, Chris Mancini and myself will be at the Cellar Door in Visalia, California.
Yes, one show only.
One show only. There's a link to it on my site, grahamelwood.com, and we'll put
more. One on Comedy Film Nerds.
We'll put
too.
One on Comedy Film Nerds as well.
And try that Visalia taffy. It's so
it's
good.
It's delightful. Yeah. Central California, buckle
it's
up.
It's just like saltwater taffy.
So Chris and I are going to be doing our regular stand up comedy acts. We're also going to play a couple of short films.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in the Visalia area, near Fresno, wherever.
It's only like $5, right?
It's $5 to get in. It's
cool.
A great show. I did the venue with Doug over the summer. It's a blast. I say is a great little town.
Great.
So it'll be
and
a lot of fun.
And we want to mention this now. It's November, Christmas season.
Ding, 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 ding.
No, it's not
ding.
Christmas season.
Well, online it is.
Well, we
oh,
have a
right,
store,
right.
Doctor. Yeah. We need to sell, we need to move some products.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Like we said, our gift packs are all primed and ready to go. We've got chill packs. And I also wanted to let people know, sometimes we get emails. When you go through the cart, it looks like you can only pay through PayPal. You can, but you can also pay just with a credit card when you go through the checkout process.
And I'm going to have Get It Together T-shirts on sale.
Yes. We'll carry them if you make them.
You make them, buddy. We'll carry
them. With my angry mug.
Yeah. Pointing at you. Get it together. Yeah.
Clean shaven, looking at this guy.
You know
guy.
What? Alan Havey says get it together.
Alan Havey says get it together. I like it. So that's all of our business, I believe. Thanks to our guest, Alan Havey,
thanks,
so much.
Guys. Had a great time.
Good.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Our
and
pleasure.
Read his column. Read Alan Havey's Film Ball. It's a monthly column. We're going to be getting a new one soon.
Yeah. Soon?
Yes.
Mid-December.
Come on. It's November.
You know, maybe for Thanksgiving I'll do a turkey. I'll do a classic film that
perfect.
Really sucks or a classic that everyone loves and I'm going to just tear it apart.
Do it.
Great.
Sounds good.
Do it. So you got that and then you got a Christmas one on deck. So buckle up.
No,
listeners.
No. That's all you get till the first of the year. I got a one-man show.
Don't give me that
business. I'm blowing a producer. Give me a... Come on, guys. I'm married now.
To the producer.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, our guest, Alan Havey. My name is Graham Elway.
I'm Chris Mancini. And as always,
Han shot first.